You are listening to sounddoctrine.net, Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you.
Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon.
It really exposes, but I'm going to go gradually, little by little, slowly, so everybody can understand, and so we can see the whole concept of what is Christian love. Now, what is love? You know, the thing is, we see what is the biblical love. Jesus said the most important thing is to love God first. Loving God first, then love your neighbor. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Matthew 22, 35. Here we see one of the lawyers asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest, great commandment. And the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Meaning that the entire Bible hang on these two commandments. In other words, the will of God for us is to love Him without limit. Then love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That is what it is basically. The will of God is to, for us to love Him without any limit. With loving how? Loving with all your heart. Okay? Loving with all your soul, with mind and strength and everything. That's without limit. Then loving your neighbor as we love ourselves. Anybody who love yourself here? Everybody love ourselves, right? We all like to be good, right? Comb our hair, you know, we want to dress good. We love ourselves. If you love yourself, can you love the same love that you have for your neighbor? Now, in the Greek language, there are three, in English, there is only one word, love. Right? Only one word, love. But in Greek, the word love can be broken into three. The first one is over here, as you see, eros. So, in English language, there is only one word love. But in Greek, love can be broken into three. The first word is eros. Of course, eros stands for romantic or sexual love. This is a word that word erotica comes from. So this is the kind of love that most of the world knows. The world, people outside, they know of this love, eros. Whenever you say love, they think what? It comes romance. Thinks about sexual love, romantic love. Now this love is motivated by your feelings, by your sexual desires. That is, that love is called eros. The second kind of love in Greek is called phileo. Okay? Phileo. This is a love that a husband and a wife has. This is a love that a husband and wife and their children has. This phileo love is the one that you have with your friends. And this love is called brotherly love. Alright? And so, it's like the father, daughter, and your friends' relationship love. The word Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love. Okay? The word Philadelphia means city of brotherly love. We all know where Philadelphia is, right? Okay, it's not in Afghanistan or anywhere else over here, right? So the third Greek word for love, this is where we are going to spend a lot of time, is called agape love. Agape, even our church is called Agape Chapel Ministries. There's a meaning for that. This love is very different than these two love. This is the divine love, or God's love. This is all human. First two are human basic. This one is heavenly. It's God's love. This love is a self-sacrificing love. This love, there are no strings attached, no hidden motives. And this is what is called the unconditional love. And this is in sharp contrast to these two loves. So this is a self-sacrificing love. Now, so this is where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." That means you shall agape God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That means our love to God is without any strings attached, without any hidden motives. That means our love to God is an unconditional love. It's a sacrificial love. And this love, people cannot understand this love unless God revealed this love to them first. You will never understand this love. So this is the greatest commandment, that to love Him without any condition, unconditionally. And also in John chapter 14, verse 15, in the same context, Jesus is saying, if you love me, if you agape me, keep my commandments. See, the love we have for Jesus is the same love. It's an unconditional love. And also you will see the love that we have for our spouses. Ephesians chapter 5:25. You know this. Ephesians 5:25. Husband and wife. This is a different love. Once you are regenerated, you have a different love for your spouse. Ephesians 5:25. Love your wives. Meaning husband, agape, your wives. That means it's an unconditional love. Just like how Christ loved ourselves. Just like how Christ loved the church. That means the love that husbands have for the wife is unconditional. No strings attached, no hidden motives. Just like how Christ loved the church, gave himself for the church. That's the same love that the husband should have for the wife. Meaning, I love you because you love me. No. That's the love of the world. I love you because you love me. That's why there's so many divorces today. marriages are broken because love is conditional from the perspective of the world. But from the Christian perspective, love is unconditional. Now, also it means, the agape love means, it means that we can love our enemies. If you turn with me to, again, Matthew 5:44-43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, what you see on television and from the world is a different story, right? Somebody hates you, you hate them. Somebody hates you, you hit them. Huh? Somebody, you're going on the freeway, somebody cutting right in front of you, what do? You take revenge. That's the kind of attitude what people have in the world. But Jesus said, if you have agape love, now, if you do have agape love, you can love those who persecute you. You can love those who don't like you. Now, that kind of love is not an earthly love. Amen. It's a heavenly love. People on earth, they cannot understand that love. And they cannot practice that love. Because it is not, because people on the earth, they are earthly. We have to be born from above to understand this love. Amen. It's a heavenly love. It's a love that comes from God. And only we need to be regenerated. Now the Bible clearly says, of course, that we are all born sinners. I just want to go through a little bit where most of you have heard, because it's good to repeat these things, okay? So, we all know that Bible is very clear. The Word of God says, everybody is a born sinner. You are born in sin to this world. Okay? For example, when a little child is born, do you have to teach a child to sin? Absolutely not. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. You don't have to teach a child how to steal something. They are all born sinners. That's why David said in Psalm 51:5, it is only in the New Testament, only in the Old Testament, Psalm 51:5, "Surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So from the birth, since you're born from birth, you're a sinful person. That's why Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So here we see, all means who? Everybody, every single person is all. All is all, without any exclusion. So also, we have sinned against God. And also we have broken all His commandments. Alright? Where does it say in the Bible that we have violated His commandments? What is sin, really? What is sin? Yeah, sin is disobedience. Sin is breaking the law of God. 1 John 3:4. 1 John 3:4. says here, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is what? Lawlessness. For that means you had to, what do you mean by lawlessness? There got to be a law. So lawlessness means breaking the law. What is the law of God? You see the law of God in the Word of God. Disobedience, breaking the law of God. So that is lawlessness. So if we, everybody is a born sinner, and apart from that we have broken the law of God, that means God is infinitely holy, He is a majestic God, and in front of God, here we are, the whole world is guilty before God. Because God is holy. When you come to a holy God, we see that everybody is guilty before God. Romans chapter 3 verse 19. Romans 3:19. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, when you're guilty before God, there are no lawyers who can get you out of that guilt. The only lawyer who is there is Jesus Christ, but you had to submit to Him. Alright? So there are no lawyers. You're guilty before the Almighty God. So if you're guilty, God is going to punish you. That's what the Bible says. Guilty are going to be punished. So everybody is a sinner, everybody is guilty, and the guilty are going to be punished. Now what is the punishment? Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, means whoever who are disobedient to God is an unbeliever. Abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part where? In the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That means it's going to be in the lake of fire. If you see a lake, beautiful blue lake, you feel like getting into it. You know, it's so refreshing. But if you see a lake of fire, man, just imagine. That's where, when you die, either you go to the lake of fire or to heaven. Lake of fire is not a little short vacation you go. It's forever, everlasting, forever and ever and ever. Now, as we said last time, does God love the sinners? In a sense, does God love the unbelievers? No. God is angry. God is angry with the wicked. For how many days? Every day. Psalm 7:11 says that. We know that. So the sinful man, now how can the sinful man love God? Because God said in the Bible, it says, Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. How can you love God? How can a sinful man love God? Absolutely. You cannot. You are not capable of loving the Holy God. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. What is the word enmity means? Hostility, hatred against God. So you cannot love God. So, if you cannot love God, how can you love your neighbor? That's why there's so many... Where are the fights begin? With your neighbor, right? All the time. Relationships break... Who is your neighbor? Jesus gave a perfect example. Neighbor is always the person next to you, right? It could be your neighbor in the house where you are, or it could be your neighbor seated next to you, it could be the neighbor in your post office next to you, it could be the neighbor in your class, in your school, or it could be the neighbor in your work next to you. That is your neighbor. And a lot of times, it could be your wife sometimes, your husband, your children. How come there's so much fighting going on? How much there's so much murder, killings, and all these things, violence going on? Because people cannot love their neighbor. The reason is, they don't have God. They don't have God, they cannot love God, they cannot love their neighbor. Your neighbor, who is your best friend, sometimes he could be your best friend. Sometimes, get angry. Things happen. When things happen, what happens is, there is hurt. There is jealousy, there is envy, there is hurt. And the first thing what you want to do is to hurt your friend, right? And you want to come back. And you want to take revenge. So, is that loving your enemy? God said, love your enemies. That's agape love. So that's why there's so much problems in the world, so much murder, violence, and relationships breaking up, because they cannot love their neighbors. Instead, they hate their neighbor. Sometimes we can love for a little while, not the unconditional love. But so sinners cannot love God unless God change their nature first. God has to change. If God changes the nature of the sinners, then they can love God. Because the Bible says God loved the sinner first. God loved us first. Not that we love God, He loved us first. 1 John 4:19. What does He say? We love Him because He first loved us. See that? We love Him because He loved us first. It doesn't say we love Him because we loved Him first. Right? It's we love Him because He loved us first. And also see verse 11. 1 John 4:11. Oops. We also ought to love one another. So it says here, if God so loved us, it's God who loved us first, then in return we love one another. Now, this word love, agape love, that is God's love, it does not change. It's not like the emotional love that we have for a while, and after that, it disappears. It's not the love that when two people get married and say, I'm going to love you until I die. But afterwards, when you live together and you come to know this person, then you're not as sweet as like before. Before, you used to open the door, you bring flowers, you give things, and after a while, well, your love is kind of, you know, tails away. It's not fresh anymore like before. And then, before, at the beginning, somebody is sick. Oh, are you really sick? You know, you want to take care and so forth like that. Now, if you say, oh, I'm sick, I got a headache, take an aspirin. That's the medicine, you know. Go and take it, you know. That's the way what happens to love. Right? Go and get it. I'm hungry. Cook. There's food in the refrigerator. Before, when you say you're hungry, what can I do? You're always trying to please a person, husband and wife. But now, that kind of emotional love, it stays for a while, then it goes away. But God's love is not that. Agape love is an intelligent love. And it's an eternal love. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3. God has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love is an everlasting love. It's an eternal love. It's a love that does not change. So God's love to the believing sinner is shown how? How do we know that God loves us to the believing sinner? Well, how does He show His love to us? In His salvation. On the cross, we see the love of God. He has saved us from what? From the wrath of God that is going to come. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, starting from verse 10. You will see the love of God. The focus is the cross. Romans 5, starting from verse 10. Actually, start from verse 8. And it says here, But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see that? So God's love is now, you don't have to become a Christian. When we were still ungodly, God saw us and died for us. Alright? Then it says here, Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved. How? From wrath through Him. So here we see the salvation. We are saved from the wrath of God that is going to come. Right? Then it says, If then we were enemies, we saw that before, right? We were enemies of God. Now what happened? We are reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be what? Saved by His life. So how do we see God's love for us? In salvation, that He saved us. He saved us. We were going to hell. We were going to the fire, eternal fire. God saved us. For instance, if you were going to drown in the lake, and just imagine the fire, what happened, the terrorist attack in New York, how the planes crashed and the buildings were in fire. And just imagine there was people who were caught up in that fire, they cannot get out, and they were going to die. Then somebody came and rescued. A fireman came and rescued that person. What is that? He was saved. That is called salvation. Salvation is saving somebody from danger. That is what is called salvation. Saving somebody from danger. In the same way, we were in danger. Everybody, we are all born sinners, were in danger of going to hell. Then what did Christ do? He came to this earth and saved you. Now you don't have to go to hell when you die. You will go to heaven if you trust in Him and believe in Him. That is what is called salvation, saving grace. I want you to go to for us to see this love. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. What is more important, knowledge or love? Good. We are going to see that. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know, but if anyone loves God, this is known by Him. Now, here the apostle compares knowledge and love. But preference is given to love. Christian love in the first place is what? Verse 3. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. So if you really love God, then we know how Jesus said, love God with all your heart, mind and soul, with your strength and soul and everything. Then you're a Christian. Then you have this agape love. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. Now, we got a little glimpse of this love. Now, let us see this love in reality. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 13, 1 to 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. What love is he talking here? Is it eros, phileo, or agape? It's agape love. Then he says here, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, the Christian love is different than all. But I'll tell you, we are going to see this true love as we go around. Okay, but Apostle Paul says, but still, that is not love. They can do all these things, but if you don't have this love, agape love, you're nothing. Now that love has to do with for you to become popular. I know in Sri Lanka, when I was there, there was this very rich merchant. He was a gem merchant. What he did was, he gave wheelchairs, hundreds and hundreds of wheelchairs, he gave free for those people who are handicapped. Now people looked at him and said, wow, this man, he really is loves God. Then this man, and they say, oh, you are really loves God, you're a holy man. And he say, yeah. Then they put his picture, you know, wherever, and put a thing there. And the newspaper said, he gave this amount. Yes, I gave that amount. Now that is not love. That is, you're trying to get something. You're trying, that is pride, really. That is something you're giving just to be shown who you are. But that is not love. Jesus said, if you give something, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Right? Now, here we see a difference. So for us to understand the doctrine, we need to see the nature of this Christian love. So the nature of Christian love has to do with our heart first. Okay? As we saw, first it has been exercised to God and then to man. Now, how can this heart be influenced by that true Christian love? Who does the influencing of this Christian love? This agape love is the Spirit of God only. Because God's Spirit is the Spirit of love. It is the same Spirit that breathed unto man. We don't deserve it. That's the Spirit of love. Then he gives a new heart. With the Spirit of God, God enters. Then we are partakers of that divine love. In Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26 says, Ezekiel 36:26 in the Old Testament, heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh. So who gives the new heart? God. Who gives the new spirit? God. So the Christian love is called the love of the Spirit. Okay? Christian love is called love of the Spirit. Romans chapter 15:30. Romans 15:30. It says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God. So it is the love of the Spirit. When you say love, when you say of, it means it has a source. Amen. It means it has an origin. So the love of the Spirit means the Spirit, that is the source, is in heaven. Okay? Not on earth. Alright? So it is the love of the Spirit, and also the Christian love is love in the Spirit. It's not only the love of the Spirit, but also love in the Spirit. Now, when you say in the Spirit means, it has limitations according to situations. Now, we have love of the Spirit that's off from heaven in here within this body now, or wherever you are. And you can see this in Colossians 1:8. Colossians 1:8. Actually, this is talking on Epaphras, on verse 7, Colossians 1:7, talking about Epaphras, and he was a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Okay? That means wherever you are, according to your circumstances, you can love each other in the Spirit. You understand? Alright. Now, the love of God is infused to us by the Holy Spirit. We saw that. You find this in Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So it has been infused or given to us by the Holy Spirit. Remember how David cried out and said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take away not thy Holy Spirit from me." And here we see the true love of God. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue of the love of God. Next week we are going to continue on this and see how we can be, if you are not obedient to God, if you are not obedient to God, then you don't love God. Amen. So we are going to continue on that subject. Amen. And so what do we see here? We see that this is the most important love, agape love. And we cannot have this agape love unless God brings us from darkness, from our darkness, to the light of Christ. Okay, if God brings us from darkness to light, then we can see God gives us the spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit, then we can see this true love. All right, if you turn with me to Acts, let me show you a scripture here. This is the ministry what God gave to Apostle Paul. Starting from 17, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes," verse 18, "to in order to turn from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So as we saw that everybody is a born sinner, born sinners are in darkness. So Christ Jesus, he came down to this earth, and once you realize what Christ have done for you, that he took your place on the cross, that he died on your place, and in return, you cry out to God and say, "God, merciful to me, I am a sinner. Have mercy upon me, I am a sinner." If you realize that you have offended God with your thoughts, in your mouth what you talk, and in your action what you do, and if you realize the punishment is hell, and then you cry out to God and say, "God, please, forgive me. I am a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the lake of fire to be burned. I know any time death can come. Death can come to each one of us anytime. Even to the, it doesn't matter what your age is. You don't have to be old to die.
Amen.
Death can come anytime. So realize, if I die, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be in hell or in heaven? So realize, God, please forgive my sins. Then if you do that from the bottom of your heart, then Christ will save you. He's going to save you. But salvation is of the Lord, okay? We have to realize God is the one who even gives that thought to you to repent. Without that, you cannot even cry out to God. So we need to realize. So then God is going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. And then you can exercise this agape love. Without this agape love, you are lost. You are lost. Because then you will have eros and phileo. The best love you can have is phileo then. That's the best you can get. You can love those who love you. But you cannot love those who persecute.